I awoke early, not nearly as early as Pastor, but quite early for me, that this time of year is a very dark time of year. I think it's no small surprise that Epiphany falls perhaps at the darkest point in the year. We have the opportunity to celebrate the light of the world coming into it, the light increasing slowly as the days go by. In this time when darkness gives way to light, as we progress from the darkest day of the year towards the light of the summer. I don't know about you, but for me it's sometimes difficult when it's still dark at about 7 in the morning and gets dark again by what seems like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I know it's like 5:30 actually, but it seems like the days are so short, and once that time comes when it becomes dark outside, it's difficult to do things. It's almost as if the body says, it's time to go to bed. It's time to sleep now. And I know all of you out there are morning people, and you're just kind of smiling at me and saying, we've been going since 4 a.m., Pastor. You just need to get out of the college lifestyle and start living like an adult. Well, folks, that's why I went back to college, so I could live the college lifestyle again. I saw the real world, and I was like, that's for the birds. I'm going to go back where I can sleep till 9 and then go to class and be good. No, that's not the case, actually. But as we come to our texts for today, we get to see some parallel passages, and the Old Testament reading and the Gospel pull together very nicely. We get to see where Matthew, in the beginning of his Gospel, quoted from the book of Isaiah. And for those who keep track and who have the opportunity to read behind and ahead, you may remember this isn't the first time that Matthew has done this. No, in the total of his Gospel, he quotes Isaiah at least 10 times at length. Or he quotes the Old Testament, rather, at least, at length in 10 different locations. And actually, in his Gospel, we're only at chapter 4, and this is time number 5 that we see pointing to the Son of Man, to Jesus. We have the opportunity to hear about Zebulun and Naphtali. I get to hear about how the light goes out into the darkness and finds its place. But I think it's worth reflecting a little bit as we have that in mind and sort of simmer on that language, hearing about how Jesus went out into Galilee of the Gentiles to proclaim his word to those people who were sitting in darkness, to think a little bit about our world. Depending on your perspective, you may see this as a very bright or a very dark time in our nation's history. It may be the case that you're very elated by who was elected president and by the change in power, and it may be the case that you're not quite so excited. Whatever side of the fence you may happen to be on, or if you sit firmly in the middle, regardless of the case of where it may be, the thing to remember is how blessed we are to live in a nation where there's a peaceful transfer of power, to be able to live in a country where we have the right, if we are displeased, to express our dissent and not to be arrested and thrown in jail or to simply disappear because of it. It's true that maybe there will be changes coming for our nation, some good and some bad, but to be honest, that's how it's been for a very long time. And if we compare our situation and our place to the rest of the world, we've got it very, very good. It's true if we look out into some of the other nations, we see places that are very, very dark. Places where if you disagree, you disappear. Places where if you speak up against the government, your voice is silenced. Places where if you try to share the gospel, you're thrown in jail or into a labor camp and left to waste away until you die. It's true. There are times that are changing in our lives today. But when we look at the situation as the whole, it's very important to remember just how blessed we are to be in this place at this time in our world. It's not just politics that may be dark. If we look out into the world, we see a lot of practices, even in our own country, that give evidence to the darkness around us. We see lives snuffed short, even lives in the womb coming to an end. We see injustice in all corners of our country, even if it's just receding to the shadows. It's true, there's a lot of good about our nation, but even within our own country, there are places where there is darkness. sometimes when we look out into our world, especially if we look at it through the lens of the 24-hour news media, whatever channel you watch. We see a lot of darkness. We see evil happening in the world. We see every single event live streamed to us, and we're able to see around the world with only a few milliseconds delay. We get a little scared, because even though we know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, even though we know that he's won the victory, that he's won the battle, and that he reigns and he controls all things, it seems pretty dark down here. I don't know if you've had that experience. I stopped watching TV because of it. I don't really miss it, to be honest. Big Brother really wasn't my thing, and Survivor was entertaining for the first 10 or 12 seasons, but now we're on towards 25 or 26, so who knows? I don't keep up with all of that. But I know when I look out at the world and I go out from these doors, sometimes the world, as it has been proclaimed to me, saying that Jesus is in control and God has power over all things, well, it doesn't necessarily ring true sometimes with what I see. I don't know if you have that experience. Maybe I'm just a pessimist. Maybe I'm the only one that sees darkness out there. But I don't think that's the case. As we dive back into our text, this isn't the first time there has been darkness in the world. We heard about Zebulun and Naphtali today, Galilee of the Gentiles, as it was referred to. The interesting thing about this region in Israel's history, in the land of Israel, is that this was the first place that God's people lost after they had taken the Promised Land. This was the first place taken over. It was the first exile to the Assyrians, and throughout much of its history, it was kind of a melting pot, much like the United States, but without all of the freedoms. There were a whole bunch of people that mixed in this region. And if you'll recall back, when God was stood before his people and spoke to them as they entered the Promised Land, he told them to remove all of the people who lived in the land, because they would be a temptation to go after other gods, to leave the one true God who they knew, the one true God who had delivered them from oppression in Egypt, and to turn to other gods who were in that place. You see, in our world today, we think of it mostly as a monotheistic world. In the country we live in, most people are Christian. Most people claim that name. And most people don't argue with the fact that there is one God. In the world that Israel lived in, there were many gods. Every people had its own god, and many peoples had multiple gods. Sometimes you would have multiple gods worshipped by one particular group of people. Now Israel, when they went into the land, they started off very good, cleaning out the cities and cleaning out the land and taking it over completely. But as time went on, they forgot the warnings of God, even though they heard them from their prophets and they were able to read them from Scripture. They forgot, and they started mixing with the local people. If you would remember, David, the man after God's own heart, David, the man who committed adultery, David, the man who married Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. He followed in his later years after God, and he was still a man after God's own heart. But even David started turning his heart to other gods because of the wives that he married. That mixing of cultures, that mixing of worldviews created a difficult thing, because it pulled in doubt, it pulled in questions, and that mixing is what had caused problems for Israel. The same thing happened to Solomon and many kings after that, not to mention many of the people of Israel. Darkness crept in where God's light had once been. You see, this isn't the first time that there's been darkness in our world. If we're honest, ever since the fall, there's been a lot of darkness in the world. It's been darker, perhaps it's been lighter at times, but one thing we know for sure is that when we look out from these windows, even though it may be the middle of the day, even in this neighborhood, there's a lot of darkness. Sometimes even we look into our own lives, and perhaps it's just me, but I see a lot of darkness too. I see sluggishness. I see the desire to simply recede into myself and to be lazy, perhaps at times. The desire to turn to sin because it would be more simple than following the light. The desire to do things my way instead of the way that God has called us to live. Maybe you don't have that problem. Maybe you all are much more sanctified than I am. Certainly most of you are. But I know that perhaps there's one or two of you who could sympathize out there. As we look out into the world and as we look into our own hearts, it's sometimes hard to find the light in the middle of all the darkness. And then we come here on Sunday mornings, even before the sun has come up. As I noticed today, you all know that I'm a 10:45 kind of guy, not an 8 a.m. kind of guy. You probably haven't seen me at this service a lot before. But the light is starting to come out, and the light is starting to shine, not only out there, but also in here, because it's at this point we make our turn, because it's here that we have the opportunity each week to come together and to hear about the light, to hear at that very start, after we confess our sins, that God has forgiven us and that He has made us His own child, just as He promised at that baptismal font. We get to hear again and again how Jesus is the light that has come into the world and how Jesus has conquered evil. He has conquered destruction and death, and how all that is wrong with the world is undone. We get to hear that no matter what's happening outside of these walls and even within the walls of our own hearts, despite everything we see that seems to be going wrong, the light has come into the world. And the light is shining, and all that is wrong is coming undone. And yet at the same time, even as we sit in these pews, heartened by the fact that we have been forgiven, perhaps there's a little seed of doubt. Not a doubt that would make us unchristian. Not even a doubt that would turn us away from God. But that little seed of doubt that says, really? Is God really in control of everything? Are you really sure about that? And even though we know that the devil's been defeated, that evil has lost in the final victory, the devil still prowls, even within these walls at times, and whispers in our ears, are you sure? Do you know that it happened? Have you seen Jesus? When has He come to you and told you that you were forgiven? When has He come to you and saved you in the midst of trouble? And we may be able to come up with some of those miracles. We may be able to come to them and say, this is where, devil. This is how. But if you're wondering, and if you're worrying, and if you're in a place where you say, it's been really dark recently, I've dealt with a lot of trouble, and as I look out into the world, I see a lot of darkness. If you're at a place like that, let me tell you this place, not necessarily this pulpit, but this place is where the light is at. This is where we see that light shining into the world, not because I wear a white robe or because I'm yelling from a pulpit, not because of who I am, and not even because of who Pastor is, although praise God for him because he shines the light so brightly. This is a place where we come to be reminded time and time again when we forget or when we've been tempted to doubt that the victory has been won. This is a place that we come to hear God's forgiveness proclaimed to us, not because Pastor's a great guy, not because he wears a white robe. Both of those things are true, but we hear it because God has promised to be present here. God has promised to His people, I will stand here and I will proclaim your forgiveness, not in a lofty way, not through fancy words, but instead through a man who I have chosen to serve you. It's the same God who came down and through simple water washed each and every one of us, many when we were infants before we could have done anything to deserve it, and made us His own child. You see, the light is shining in the world whether we can see it or not. The victory has been won whether we notice it or not. And in those moments when we're tempted to doubt and we're tempted to close our eyes and cover them so that we can't see the light around us, our Lord comes to us in this place and throughout our world and reminds us gently to open our eyes and to look at the bigger picture. To remember the narrative of Scripture about how He went out to Galilee of the Gentiles, to a people who He wasn't called to save. He was the King of the Jews. the one of God who was called to go to all people, but first to the Jews. And if you notice, in our narrative in Matthew, we didn't have it in our text for today, but just before it, we had Jesus being baptized, and then immediately after he was baptized, he was driven out into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days by the devil. Then after that, after those 40 days, after he had won that victory over temptation for us, the victory that we lose every day, that battle that we can't fight on our own, Jesus has won it for us. After that, immediately, he heard about how John had been taken into custody, and he went to Galilee of the Gentiles to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. You see, that's what it's about. We look out into our world and there are so many temporal signs of trouble, so many temporal issues around us. We see instability throughout the world. We wonder if there are going to be wars. We have rumors of wars, as there have been since the fall. But at the same time, we know, as the people of God who have a promise from Him, one that is repeated in our ears again and again and again, we know that our God has won the victory. We know that though there may be wars in our time or in the future, we know that the victory has been won. Because the biggest of those wars, the baddest of the battles, has already been fought. The most evil of opponents has been vanquished. He's chained. They can't do anything. And the promise that our God gives to us, the promise that He gives to His people, is that they don't have to worry, that the devil can't take us out of his hand. And even though it may be the case that we may feel that we haven't seen a lot of God's work in the world, it may be the case, maybe it's just me, but perhaps for you as well, we come week in and week out to this place to hear Him and to see Him, to hear His word read, to hear His word preached, not because I'm a good speaker, not because I know something that you don't, but because God has placed His message upon me. He's called me to speak for Him. The power of what I say doesn't come from me, it comes from Him. And you know what else? He comes to be present with us, not just in a fuzzy sort of way that we feel Him in our hearts or we feel Him near us, but He comes to be present with us and in us. He comes and He is placed on our lips. His body and His blood are given for us as a tangible reminder, as a way for us to be able to see and to taste that our Lord is good. He is here. He is present. He is among us. The light is shining. My friends, we may not notice it, we may not see it every day because it gets blocked out by all the noise of our world. But I tell you this day, just as we look out the windows and see our world brightening moment by moment, the light is shining. The light of our Lord, the God who went out into Galilee of the Gentiles, and don't forget, most, if not all of you, are Gentiles. The God who went out to the Gentiles has come to us. He has chosen each and every one of us, not as some general group because we happen to be at this church someplace, but individually, one by one, placed His name upon us, His seal upon our forehead and upon our heart to mark us as ones who were redeemed. That is who you are. He has chosen you, and His light shines brightly in your life, and His light reflects off of you into the world that you live in. Don't be sad, folks, when you look out and see darkness. Be heartened because you know that that bright light is reflected off of your life. Not because of who you are. You're just a mirror, just like me. The light is shining into our world, and the darkness will never overcome it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.